We're back, everybody. You're listening to Common Sense Revisited. I'm your co-host, Todd McGreevy, being joined by Corey Ibe. Today is Saturday, April 27th, 2013. We're in the second hour of 2 hours here on Republic Broadcasting Network, as well as noagendastream.com. Also, check out republicbroadcasting.org, everybody. It's an excellent resource. You can sign up there for the archives. You can get all the Republic Broadcasting archives are there. Any of the advertisers you hear that you want to get more information on, their link there. And there's excellent headlines and news streams there, just like there is at noagendastream.com. Two alternative media sources that are well worth bookmarking on your browser, well worth visiting a couple times a week to check in and see what's going on. Because if it wasn't for these type of alternative networks, we'd all still be very much asleep. And maybe sometimes, Corey, I often think, maybe it's easier to be asleep, man. Maybe it's easier just to not know all this stuff.
You certainly can make a lot more money and get along, go along to get along when you don't know about this stuff, that's for sure.
It's incredible. But once you're awake and aware, you have a responsibility, and you can't turn back. So Jerry is joining us in Arkansas. Jerry, you still there?
Yes, sir.
Go on. Did you have something else you wanted to ask or contribute there?
Well, I hope that people will... They may not like what the U.S. Supreme Court says, but that is the way the game is played in this country, and you have to know what they do to be able to beat them. Second thing I would like to offer is there's this talk about aliens and immigration. I would like to offer to you that there are approximately 3,900 U.S. Supreme Court cases that have the word alien in it. You got 147 cases that have the word resident alien. You have 81 that have illegal aliens. You have one case that is alien non-resident. So people throw out the term alien, and they do not realize that there's a difference between the different categories. I would like to offer a U.S. Supreme Court decision or definition of the word alien, please. One sentence. Aliens as a class are a prime example of a discrete and insular minority for whom such heightened judicial solicitude is appropriate. So, I hope that you heard the word discreet, you know, very, very small, and insulated, away from these contracts, away from U.S. citizenship, and heightened judicial solicitude. So when people like Richard from Alabama said, the courts expunged the records, on certain of these aliens. Well, what happens is the judge didn't know what he was doing, and all of a sudden he finds out, hey, they're insular. I can't do what I was doing to them because I was under the impression they're an illegal alien. And that's a whole nother word added to the word alien. So the definition of words is critical, and the reason people, they go into court, say, well, the judge didn't know what he was doing. I suggest it's the individual that didn't know his language and meanings that got his tail handed to him in a hat. So, I would hope people would start to define them out, find out what really is what a word means, so that you don't get your butt handed to you in a hat. I tried to be more polite on that terminology. I would also offer to you that in a week or two, I will be calling in with the U.S. Supreme Court cases that will prove that all of your states, from the time they were a colony, were corporate. That should have a big effect on whether or not you want to be, part of Arkansas or California at any stage, because they were corporate from the get-go, and it's even in the Treaty of Paris.
Very fascinating in... Jerry, we've got to take another break here, and we'll be right back. Stay tuned.
Are you prepared? Are you ready? You should be. CampingSurvival.com is your source for camping supplies, survival gear, and survival food. Whether you are an emergency preparedness-minded individual interested in MRE, a hardcore hiker in need of paracord, a water filter system and fire piston, or you just need a basic first aid kit or emergency kit for the family, CampingSurvival.com is the right place. Call CampingSurvival.com today, toll-free at 800-537-1339. CampingSurvival.com. It's not about the end of the world. It's not about surviving a hypothetical plane crash. It's about the satisfaction you get knowing you can take care of yourself and or your family in any situation, anytime, anywhere. Visit CampingSurvival.com now and receive 5% off any purchase with the code FREEDOM. CampingSurvival.com.
There are many water filters to choose from, but there is only one system that is consistently customer rated 5 stars as the number one system for effective filtration of fluoride, radiation, drug residues, heavy metals, a wide range of radioisotopes, and more. Introducing the PureFect Ultra, the next generation water filter that also raises alkaline pH, improves antioxidant potential, and has advanced anti-radiation technology, all while using no electricity. Sold worldwide, it provides virtually instant clean water on demand. It is not made in China, and the shipping is free to all 50 states. Buy your PureFect Ultra today by visiting PureFectFilters.com or call 888-891-4821. Again, that's 888-891-4821 or visit PureFectFilters.com.
With financial uncertainty circling the globe due to job losses, decline in the housing market, a climate of corruption, bailouts, currency rigging, and unfair competition, many are once more turning to precious metals as the only hedge against the uncertainty of the future. With the U.S. House conducting hearings on proposals to confiscate workers' personal retirement accounts, including 401ks and IRAs, this is the time to secure your assets. Call Republic Trading Group today, 800-691-7898, before this happens, and find out how easy it is to convert your existing IRA and in some instances your 401k plan into real wealth now. Don't let the ravages of hyperinflation caused by the massive increase of fiat currency now flooding world markets affect your retirement account. Call RTG at 800-691-7898 and experience the security and peace of mind that only real gold and silver can offer. That number again is 800-691-7898. Call now.
We're back, folks. Thanks for staying with us. This is Todd McGreevy, and my co-host is Corey Iden. We're visiting with Jerry from Arkansas. Jerry, you just read a portion of a Supreme Court case that defined alien non-resident. It's a fascinating passage. What is the court case that you're citing there?
No, I read of just strictly an alien.
Oh, okay.
Not an alien non-resident, just okay. An alien.
All right, thanks for clarifying.
The site there that they give is United States versus Caroline Products Corporation, 304 U.S. 152, 1938.
All right, we'll check that out. Cool. U.S. v. Caroline Products Corp.
Yes.
Okay, we'll check that out, Jerry. You made a comment earlier on your call that something regarding a passport. Did you say that we shouldn't have passports or that they're...
I stated that when people are using this U.S. national to get that status of a passport, but when you have a passport, you create a contract with the federal government, and you are thrown not only under U.S. law, but you're thrown under the law of nations, or currently called the United Nations. So you could be an alien and not have a resident, all this other type of attachment. You go buy a passport, bingo. You have now sought permission, a license to travel. And one of the most quoted cases on travel is Kent versus Dulles. And that was about a passport. And Kent was a communist, wanted to go out of the country. They refused to sell him a passport. They said, no, you got to give him a license. You got to give him a contract to go. Had nothing to do with driving in an automobile. It just said, you got to give him a contract. That's it. And it's totally misquoted because people don't sit there and read the case.
So how is the mechanism, Jerry, that having a passport, what is it about the passport that binds you to that jurisdiction? How is a
one? You give them money, and you fill out paperwork, and you say it's correct. You ask to be under their jurisdiction. Number two, I'll bet you $25 to a donut that everybody that does that puts down a zip code. The United States federal courts, when they sit on mail or postal issues, are called a postal docket. The court is loaded saying, if you use a zip code, you're subject to U.S. law.
Hold on a second. Jerry, I think my eyes are starting to roll back in my head about a zip code. Let's go back real quick. I agree with you on a lot of stuff. I'm really fascinating how much we agree on. I just applied for a passport. I just got a passport. And there is something on that application that I found very interesting, and I was able to complete the application and get a passport, and I differentiated between me, the bearer, and the applicant. The applicant was very clear. It has a social security number, date of birth, first name, last name, everything. And then at the bottom where it asks for a signature, it asks for the applicant's legal signature. And then when you sign the passport, when you get it, the passport itself says to be held by the bearer. So I would suggest that the passport itself is not the problem, but the application is what binds you into their jurisdiction.
Yes, and on the application, you put a social security number. Read the cases. If you have a social security number, you're under their jurisdiction. All of the things that you mentioned, you said, I'm under your jurisdiction.
And you agreed by
giving them a signature. I got a social security number, I got a zip code. Hey, man, I'm under your jurisdiction.
One second. So when you put a signature, you give them jurisdiction. Is that what you're saying?
If it is on a contract, yes.
Okay, I agree with you.
Now
let me create a different situation. Let's say, Jerry, you actually hired me to conduct your business affairs. And I'm working for you, and I go into a place, and I sign off on paperwork, and I do everything legitimately, and they know, the people that I'm working with know that I'm not Jerry. And I sign that paperwork. If I sign it correctly, and I sign that I am, you know, operating in the capacity as your agent, then I can now rely on the contractual arrangement that I have between you and I to get rid of any liability that corporation may come back on me. Let's say I buy $100,000 worth of parts and I sign all the contracts and you don't pay. Well, I can be protected from that. I can be protected from, if I conduct myself accordingly, I can be protected from that liability and not have to pay that $100,000.
And I totally disagree with you. You may look at the U.S. Supreme Court cases on every subject from stocks to money to railroad cars, everything else. If the agent is in the government, then who he's acting for has now jumped into the government. You can't have a corporate agent act for you. You can't do it. And, you know, I'm one of these guys that spends, you know, untold hours reading of how to walk into court and whip them and make them say, I don't want to talk to Jerry. You know, I was in an accident November 6th. I'm not in a motor vehicle. They couldn't ticket me. They couldn't do anything. The insurance company, nobody could do anything to me. And because I'm an alien. And I'm one of those guys that that Dan was saying, or somebody was saying, throw them in jail. No, they don't do me.
Jerry, we appreciate your call. But the whole point of this show is aliens don't run this government. And it's the people. You can look at it all over. They refer to the people. So I applaud you for your efforts to become an alien and be able to fight off the insurance companies and traffic laws and things like that. But I challenge you to be able to circle back and begin to engage with government in a powerful manner such that you can be a part of the solution, where you can help step up and figure out, help support Homeland Security being reduced, not being allowed to have 2 billion rounds of hollow point ammunition. Being able to step in and engage with government in a way where now you're the one in power and demonstrating how much control and how much education you've been able to achieve by controlling government and getting them to change their behavior. Because we have a significant problem in the country, and it is the behavior of government.
Oh, I agree with you, and you can't you can't change corruption that was corrupt from the beginning. Cancer has to be eliminated. And the way you change them is you take your money from them and you take their power from them. And, you know, that's how you change them, one man at a time, not by a group.
Well, we are of like mind in that area for sure.
But anyway, I do appreciate y'all's effort, and thank you for the time you allowed me to visit with you.
Jerry, call in any time. Thank you very much. I've got these cases written down that you shared with us, and I will get them posted on the blog with links to them so everybody can check them out. Thanks again. All right. Well, there's certainly no shortage of informed listeners out there, Corey, on this network.
You know, it's challenging. I think it's great. We had Dan keeping us on our toes as far as catch and release. And that, I tell you, I would much rather have somebody figure out something wrong out here than a judge figure out I did something wrong. So I appreciate people calling in and challenging the views. It's going to be a stronger argument, a stronger legal position, and you have stronger foundation when you can resist the challenges of your peers.
Absolutely. I want to share with you, Corey, this happened to me with my county sheriff. I think it's somewhat instructive about how our GovCo leaders, both bureaucrats and sworn officials, think about themselves and think about how they justify their actions. One of the local parties has a women's, a club, the women's group, and they had a lunch, and they asked the sheriff to speak at the lunch about the Second Amendment, and this is back in February, so the height of the gun grabbing, distraction was going on and so forth. And at this luncheon, the sheriff essentially said that the Bill of Rights can be modified. And I just found that quite and we got into the whole discussion about the Second Amendment. I said, if either does the document provide us the right, or does the document, meaning the Bill of Rights, the Constitution, protect and guarantee our rights that we already have? And his response was, what's the difference? And it was kind of a circular argument, and what we landed on was the more effective example would be the First Amendment. He said, for instance, Todd, you can't yell fire in a crowded theater. That's against the law. And so therefore, the First Amendment has been modified. And it's been modified because the people who are the government, according to the sheriff, have elected representatives to make that law, and the people have allowed that law to be that protected right to be modified. And I wasn't thinking on my feet quick enough to respond, which the response should have been, well, therein lies the challenge. These statutory rules, these laws, where people are being fined or arrested, or whatever you want to call it, for their behavior, all right? This is statutory modification of behavior, punishing behavior, yelling fire in a crowded theater. If I yelled fire and everybody just sat there and didn't do anything and nobody was injured, there's no injured party. This is, in my view, Corey, the crux, the crossroads that these leaders in GovCo take. They go, oh, we're going down the statutory path because the people, the sheeple, have elected us to make all these statutory laws.
That's exactly it. And when the argument is absolutely valid, yelling fire in a crowded theater is something that is not really First Amendment protected speech, but it also doesn't mean the government can come in and just take money away because you said fire. You have to agree to that.
We're going to pick this back up on the other side of this break, folks. Stay tuned.
An effective 100% organic nutritional supplement is now available to be shipped out to you, rush delivery. Heart and Body Extract is a 100% natural, organic, and wild-crafted formula made out of garlic, hawthorn berries, hawthorn leaves, coleus, motherwort, bilberry, butcher's broom kelp, mistletoe, ginger, and cayenne pepper. It is an excellent formula designed to balance and support the heart and circulatory system. It is extremely effective and starts to work within days. Order your 2-month supply by visiting heartandbody.com or by calling 866-295-5305. 866-295-5305. Take the high road to a long and happy life. Heartandbody.com.
Golden Stag Safaris invites you to hunt in one of Argentina's most beautiful scenarios. Enjoy the quietness of the Pampas and the 5-star accommodation lodge. Excellent food and wine included in your stay, all the while hunting big game in the Argentine Valley, an area known for having a wide range of game, excellent trophies, the biggest stags in South America, as well as many other species, all gold medal quality. One-on-one guided hunts, rental guns available with the highest quality scopes in every caliber, Land Rovers for transport, pickup at Buenos Aires Airport, and a private aircraft for charter is all available. Go to www.goldenstagsafaris.com to see photos and for more information. Again, www.goldenstagsafaris.com.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. While we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country, here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us at 1-877-605-9200.
Welcome back, folks, to Common Sense Revisited. And, Corey, it really does take a lot of gray matter to stay on top of this duality of government, you know?
Right. Well, the thing is, like you brought up, that kind of bifurcation of thought that the politicians seem to take advantage of is when they say you can't yell fire in a crowded theater. By you agreeing with that, saying, all right, fair enough, I agree with that, doesn't mean automatically that they can now cite you for a statutory thing of saying, you know, something, and that they just get paid money for it. If you want to be a part of that system, then you certainly can. Now, there are those that are in this country that don't have a choice. By emigrating here, your political status doesn't allow you to be anything other than a U.S. citizen. But for those who are born in the States, well, I shouldn't say it doesn't allow unilaterally. I've not found anyone who's been able to operate in the same manner as someone who was born in a state, so I'll just put it that way. But the idea that if you were to yell fire in a crowded theater means the government can come in and say, hey, you owe me $100, they need your approval for that. You know, if you want to yell fire in a crowded theater and the government doesn't do anything, then it's up to the people in the crowded theater to say, hey, you scared me, and I'm filing a complaint for you creating a situation of imminent harm. You could have created a stampede, all sorts of different things that you could have done, but now it takes the actual people in the theater going down to court and filing a verified complaint or whatever process would need to be in order to prosecute you for that.
Yes, and that's showing that there's harm, there's injury. That's proving that it's back to the common law approach. And obviously, maybe it's not obvious, that is the challenge. When the sheriff says what he said to me, he's also referring to the resident slaves.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're a little resident slave. Your rights are modifiable. We can modify your rights. It's that's how it works.
Absolutely.
Go ahead, Corey.
Oh, I'm just agreeing. Absolutely, and you agree to it. That's the crux of the show.
Yeah, we've got four folks stacked up in the queue now who just called in. So we're going to go to Chris in Vegas first, and Kyle in Mississippi. We've got Ed in Los Angeles and Dave in New York. So everybody, if we could keep it brief so we can get everybody in, that would be great. Hi, Chris.
Well, the request for brief when you're speaking of law is a pretty tall order, Corey and Todd. For instance, you're talking about the term alien, and you're talking about the term civilization or citizenship, and they all have manifest implications, but you must understand the terms and the context of which they're addressed in the law. I'm in Black's Fourth, speaking to you here now, and if we look at alien, we find that in this country, a person born out of the United States, an unnaturalized under Constitution laws, and one born out of allegiance, well, allegiance, if one grasps the etymological meaning of it, is an attachment by law, LexisNexis. And so when you pledge allegiance, you're pledging your connection to the laws of whatever location, lex locantoris, that you exist in. I'm looking also at a couple of terms called alien ami, A-M-Y, from amici, which says in international law, an alien friend, an alien who is subject or citizen of a foreign government at peace with our own.
Okay, so what is your point? Well, we got it with the alien, and understand, and we talk about how important it is to use lots of different definitions, but I think the way you're jumping around with different words and going to things really quick would be really confusing to people who maybe aren't as skilled in looking at these words in the way you are, and maybe Todd, and hopefully myself a bit, but in real-world situations, somebody who is concerned about the United States of America, concerned about having a republic, and wants to pass on to future generations something that is even better than what we inherited, what is your point to the idea that there's a lot of different definitions to the word citizen or alien or any word that you want to choose?
Well, I would suggest that these differences or divergent meanings are part of the problem with our country, and that if you don't understand what the meanings of the words that you're using or they're using to describe you, to discount or to aver or object to their utilization to them to you in error, then you are subjected to having tacit obligation to accepting their meaning under their legal schemes. And
exactly.
I will point out that civil law is Roman law, and Roman civil law are convertible phrases meaning the same system of jurisprudence, which is the rule of the king or the emperor.
Well, the people who carry the guns today in this country, there might be some likenesses to Roman civil law and so forth, but they swear an oath to uphold and defend the Constitution. And they are, from what I've found, they have been honorable in doing that. Well, to the point where sometimes they have to do things they don't like. I'm sure I've sat in court and I've seen judges make decisions that I got the feeling they didn't enjoy doing that. But it's the way the law is written. And the predatory nature of esquires is they take advantage of that. And so by recognizing that if you identify yourself as a U.S. citizen and within the 10-square-mile jurisdiction of Washington, D.C., now you're subject to all of those laws of that you bring up, like Roman civil law and administrative law and so forth. And let's talk a little bit more about this on the other side. What do you say, Todd?
Sounds good. Chris, thanks for the prompting on that. We've still got Kyle, Ed, and Dave on hold, folks. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
The five self-evident truths of the Declaration of Independence are the standing definition of our republican form of government. Each unalienable right has an attached duty because we are all created equal. Like the right, the duty is permanent and non-transferable. There can be no paper to lien the right and no paper to waive the duty. deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed does not mean if you can think of it, you can consent to it. Truly, it names a condition where a right must be held without violation of its duty by both parties who can then consent. Our grand jury has been destroyed without the consent or the right. Return the grand jury customarily impaneled by the elected county sheriff and one where people can appear with information. McGilvery Machine Company, Reading, Michigan. Innovative research and development of prototype industrial equipment since 1988.
Ground beef, eggs, butter, cheese, soup, sandwiches, strawberries, ice cream, coffee, and more. What do these foods have in common? They all come in storable, long shelf life food for you to save and use in uncertain times. Rather, if it is a meal or a snack for a family or just yourself, CampingSurvival.com offers a huge variety of storable food for you to be prepared anytime. Go to CampingSurvival.com to order all your food. Eat today, save it for tomorrow, or store it for years to come. CampingSurvival.com sells healthy, nutritious, storable food in number 10 cans and pouches. Order online today at CampingSurvival.com. Use code FREEDOM and receive 5% off. CampingSurvival.com. Remember, save 5% off with code FREEDOM at CampingSurvival.com on all your prepared food needs.
As many of you know, natural supplements are fantastic for your body and have zero side effects. You need to restore your body's natural balance. TerraVim strives to carry only the highest quality dietary supplements and natural vitamins that can be beneficial in helping your body recover from the impact of daily stress, allergens, illness, environmental pollution, and the aging process. Why buy from TerraVim? Simple. TerraVim provides a rewards program. Earn $1 for every $10 spent, free health consultations, free shipping on all orders, and an additional 10% discount on every order when you mention the coupon code RBN. Call 866-647-4372. That's 866-647-4372, or go to TerraVim.com. That's TerraVim.com. TerraVim, the best supplements on earth.
And we're back, folks. Thanks for staying with us on Republic Broadcasting and GoAgendaStream.com. So where were we, Corey?
Well, the idea of the show is disengaging from the jurisdiction of the United States, which is Washington, D.C., a psychotic organization that's gone nuts but has tremendous power in this country, and we need to rein it back in and change its behavior. So we're talking about the different terms and being careful with the words we use on how we engage with government, ultimately with the goal of being able to disengage from a position where they have the legal advantage and moving into a different status where when you go back into court, you have the legal advantage when it comes to securing your property, your freedom, your privacy, and your rights.
So Chris's comment from Las Vegas regarding, you know, making sure we understand the definition of terms is well taken. And to that end, we in modern day society have a much greater advantage than somebody would 100, 150 years ago because of the internet. And so there really is no excuse for not looking up definition of terms and so forth, and making oneself knowledgeable about these terms that we're using. So, Chris, thanks for that heads up, and you're always quite the bookworm when you call in, and it's hard to keep up sometimes, so I appreciate your efforts. Kyle has been on hold in Mississippi. Hi, Kyle.
Hi, Kyle. Hello.
Hi, Kyle.
How's it going?
Good. What's on your mind?
Oh, well, I just wanted to say that Jerry was wrong on a number of accounts about committing fraud by saying you're a national on the passport application, because the U.S. Code clearly states that a national is someone who owes allegiance to a state. It's Title 8, Section 1101, Title 8 is Aliens and Nationality. Chapter 12 is Immigration and Nationality. Subchapter 1 is General Provisions. So subsection 1101 is simply definitions. And a national means a person owing permanent allegiance to a state. So if a state is a collection of people, all you need to do is, I guess, promise to protect them, and that's about it. So it's no way you can...
Kyle, I think what you need to do is dig a little bit deeper. I know that that sounds like something that makes sense and it should move forward, but take a look at that whole idea behind getting a passport as a U.S. national. Look at it with from the point of view of your adversary, and your adversary is a prosecutor. If the government ever decided that they want to come after you for filling out that passport application wrong, and that you lied and somehow took an advantage that you did not have, that you would not have had had you not filled out the application that way, then you put yourself in tremendous legal peril. And one of the things that you want to do is look up every individual word in the context that they're using in there. So you look up the term state. So when it says it has an allegiance to a state, what do they mean by that term state? And it's going to be specific. It's not going to be just a group of people and you promise to protect them.
But if it's not defined in the statute, you would go with a law dictionary. But apparently, in this section, it states that the term state includes District of Columbia and all its territories.
So that would not be a good idea. Term state, then that's not a very good idea, is it?
No, I'd say it's not.
So that's the whole idea behind this show, is thinking a level deeper when it comes to conducting business with government. And anytime there's an argument, anytime there's something that becomes popular, and I've gotten literally hundreds of phone calls from people who are emotionally charged about the idea behind the term national on their passport, I think it's something exceedingly dangerous. And I hope that by you looking at that another word and looking at it critically, how is your adversary going to use that against you? How are they going to use that document that you sign under penalty of perjury against you and put you in jail, especially if they want to make an example out of you so other freedom-minded people don't try and even think about doing the same thing you're doing? That's what you want to avoid. That's the level of game that you want to play.
Right. I mean, this is just, I don't know if you've ever seen, there's a document called Why You Are a National, State National, something else, but not a statutory citizen. But if you Google why a national.pdf, I mean, it'll be the first thing. I read it many years ago, and I mean, the trick is that there's so many different sections. Will there be the IRS, the code of, federal regulations, you know, certain statutes, et cetera, you know, criminal code, immigration code, all this stuff. I mean, it's you're pulling different definitions from different sections. So
it's a lot of them can't. It's not a game for people who are going to be armchair or keyboard cowboys. If you're really going to get in and you're going to sign a document that says you're an alien, then pay attention to every single thing that you're saying, because it's incredibly dangerous from my point of view.
All right, I would agree with that. There is a. There was one other quote I had, but
so you let me, while you're looking at that, you started off saying that you thought the idea behind the alien status on a passport was wrong. Now looking at what that means, that term state, does that...
Well, it wasn't the alien state, it was the national state. If it wasn't alien state, it was national status. What I've understood is that all citizens are nationals, but not all nationals are citizens.
And where's you say you understand that for based on what?
This is basically how I've read this Why a National.pdf from, I mean, this was a few years ago, but,
you know, I spent probably 5 years in a group called, No Driver's License at yahoogroups.com trying to figure out the driver's license code. And I gotta tell you, Kyle, I wasted at least 5,000 hours, not kidding, just 5,000 hours of reading junk that is put out by incredibly skilled adversaries who are involved in an information warfare against the people of the United States. They do not want you to know how it is that you can get out from under this jurisdiction. And they put out all sorts of things that are filled with all kinds of holes. I've made plenty of mistakes doing it, but one thing I've learned from those, from that 5,000 hours of study that was pointless, was if it's on the internet, I don't trust it. That's it. And I'm gonna, and I boil down to now, well, what is a judge gonna say? And how am I wrong? Because I've been wrong so many times, and really kind of made a fool out of myself in addressing the court from my perspective now. So looking at documents that you find on the internet that sound really good, that have a really lot of citations to them, and they point you in a direction that could lead you into legal peril, that certainly serves the adversary of freedom and liberty, because it serves to deplete resources as well as deplete energy and focus attention in the wrong areas. So I would encourage you, with just what you did right now, look at everything you find, regardless of how good it sounds and how good it feels to think that you found something. Figure out how you can poke holes in it. You know,
right, I just, I don't have 5,000 hours to just been going through all this stuff, you know. I mean,
well, that's why I'm sharing my knowledge with you.
Right, that's why my problem is that I don't know who I am, you know. I don't know my status. I mean, it seems like I could be an alien, I could be a free man, I could be, you know.
You know, I found that pretty simple. I had a sheriff ask me what I am because they were quoting some law. This is when I was under arrest. They quoted some law and they referred to it as any person. And I just responded to the sheriff that a person is a legal fiction and that obviously I'm not a person. And immediately what the officer did was he asked me, well, what are you? And I think it was really important then that this was something that allowed me to have a good interface with the sheriff at that point. It could have gone a really bad way if I really didn't know what I was. It would be frustrating. But I was able to say in one word, I'm a man. And that's it. It's pretty simple. I'm a man. Here's my identification. And I identify myself by the document that I created myself and have authenticated, and there's the video to do it. And I think, Kyle, have you called in about making your ID too? Is that you?
I have not. I should do that, but
well, take a look at the video I have on YouTube of how to make a common law ID. You know, it's something that is a reference document only. If you don't understand how to disentangle from the legal jurisdiction of the United States, but it does help to identify who you are. At least for me, it did a whole bunch. It helps me identify who I am. It's very simple. I'm a man, and that's a reasonable response.
Kyle, thank you so much for calling in, buddy.
I just want to list this one thing that I found the quote, all right? It's basically Title 22, subsection 2721, impermissible basis for denial of passports. A passport may not be denied issuance, revoked, restricted, or otherwise limited because of any speech, activity, belief, affiliation, or membership within or outside the United States, which, if held or conducted within the United States, would be protected by the First Amendment to the Constitution of the United States. So, it seems like you can be whoever you want and still get a passport.
Well, you know, as long as you're not committing fraud, if you're identifying yourself as something that gives you an advantage and you're committing fraud, then you're toast. I mean, that's all I can say.
You should know who you are and definitely know who you are.
Exactly. That is, you nailed it there, Kyle. Thanks for calling in.
All right, thank you.
I think we just figured out some new bumper music. We're going to have to get the band Chicago's I'm a Man going here.
I like it.
Ed has been holding in Los Angeles. Hi, Ed.
Hey, how you doing, Todd?
Greetings. Welcome.
Hey, Corey.
This is Ed Brotherton, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Awesome. Great to hear your voice, my friend.
Hey, my pleasure. Yours too. Yeah, Todd, you were talking about the sheriff who was mentioned how your Bill of Rights is modifiable. Modifiable, that's the word. Very, very interesting because that's a it, Here's how nonsensical that is. Let me just lay this out. If he's claiming, and this I hear this all the time, by the way, that, here's the deal, words that are used in the Constitution must retain the same meaning today as it had when it was adopted. To say that your Bill of Rights, number one, he's claiming that it actually applies to you, and then he's saying it's changeable, or amend, or
Able to be modifiable.
Here's the deal. Let's say that's true. Now you have a situation where the term year can now be modified, and now he can that sheriff can make that term year mean whatever he wants it to mean. Now he can run for office and sit in office for eternity if he decides that a year is an infinite number of times the Earth revolves around the sun. That's absolutely nonsensical, and there's no way in the world that would ever be allowed.
Well, just to be the devil's advocate, Ed, his approach is that because the people, which he considers the people to be the government, have elected, when he says the people, he's meaning the residents. He's not talking about one of the people of Iowa or one of the people of California,
right,
like Corey and I are approaching.
He knows it to be the people.
Yeah, are everybody that has a proper government-issued ID in the room,
all right,
and have signed up for the GovCo resident slave train.
Sure.
Those folks have elected the officials that have created these laws in the state of Iowa, for instance, that make it so you have to actually get a permit to buy a weapon.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, because that's what I said to him. I said it's very difficult to reconcile those statutes that require a permit to defend oneself if the Second Amendment right is protected by the document, not provided by the document.
Right. Right. Now, as far as from his perspective, I mean, I don't know if he's, my thing is, I don't even think he knows what in the world he's talking about, though. I don't think he understands it from the perspective that you and I understand it.
I think he understands it from the administrative rule side of government, which would make sense because we've all grown up in that, and he works
right.
And in that administrative rule of government, they use words that sound like, you know, you have a Bill of Rights and everything, but you're in that exclusive legislation whatsoever jurisdiction, and so they just pretend to give you that Bill of Rights, and what suits them, they can modify it. And we can look at that with the traffic codes, how that is just enforced. Sales tax in California is applied to just everyone.
But my point is, though, if he can modify any provision of the Constitution, then he can modify the word year and allow himself to sit in office forever.
He's not modifying it himself. He's saying the people have modified the protected right through their legislators. And he said to me out loud to my face on several occasions, I have to do what the courts tell me to do, Todd. So he's saying, you don't like it, take it up with your legislators.
Well, that's my point, though. What happens if the legislature decides to redefine the term year to mean an infinite number of times the Earth revolves around the sun? Is he now bound by that statute?
You know, actually, Ed, I think he would, just to play devil's advocate on that, because that's a fantastic argument. What you're saying is, what if an official had used up some language that said the year is defined as an infinite times around the earth going, or infinite number of revolutions around the sun, and now he could stay in office forever. Is that right?
Right, right.
Okay, so let's say somebody does that. And if you have esquires today go in and oppose it, they're going to use language that would fail the legal argument inside the court system today. I see this type of manipulation all the time. In a situation like that, it will be up to the people to simply reestablish, like for instance here in California, reestablish the original government of 1849, legally be able to show that the government of 1879, the Constitution that Washington, D.C. is operating off of out here in California, they are now in violation of it, and either compel them to perform their duties correctly, including the legislature. But boy, that a situation like that is a great window into the very difficult position police are in. I mean, they're told all the time to do stuff that's unconstitutional and do it against people who have signed up to say, okay, I'll take it, but they didn't realize they've signed up for it. And
you'd have the same situation with other terms like dollar. You know, what is a dollar? And,
exactly.
And that word has to have the same meaning, too. I think there comes a point, though, where when you start to get into that type of manipulation, no matter what jurisdiction you're in,
right.
it starts violating natural law.
Exactly, and that's been demonstrated over and over again throughout history. Long precedent.
Unfortunately, if you're a little resident slave, you can have your natural laws violated all day long. That's the problem, folks. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Thanks for calling, Ed.
Herbal Healer Spring Sale. 500 parts per million colloidal silver, all sizes. COQ10 with hawthorn. Glucosamine chondroitin, sea cucumber, colloidal minerals, superfam and super male plex, colon enhancer, our top selling liquid, cow mag vitamin D, MSM sulfur capsules, and elderberry power capsules. We also offer certificate correspondence courses in natural medicine. Free memberships and free online newsletters also available at herbalhealer.com. Herbal Healer has been serving the natural medicine industry for 25 years. This is a company you can count on. Visit herbalhealer.com today. Herbalhealer.com. That's herbalhealer.com.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Golden Stag Safaris invites you to hunt in one of Argentina's most beautiful scenarios. Enjoy the quietness of the Pampas and the five-star accommodation lodge. Excellent food and wine included in your stay. All the while hunting big game in the Argentine Valley. An area known for having a wide range of game, excellent trophies, the biggest stags in South America, as well as many other species. All gold medal quality. One-on-one guided hunts, rental guns available with the highest quality scopes in every caliber, Land Rovers for transport, pickup at Buenos Aires Airport, and a private aircraft for charter is all available. Go to www.goldenstagsafaris.com to see photos and for more information. Again, www.goldenstagsafaris.com.
We are back, and we have Dave, who's been on hold. We're going to go to Dave here in 1 second in New York, who's been on hold. And just want to quickly point out, you know, Jerry from Arkansas had called in and talked about that case, Miller versus Albright, with regards to nationals and so forth, and the term Samoa or Samoan or the territories. Do you remember all that, Corey?
I do. And it'll be in show archives, too. That'll be a good thing to review.
Yeah, I've had a couple of people ping me on the back channel here that that those terms are not found in that case. So I would encourage Jerry, if you're listening, to hit me on either Skype or you can hit thirdrailblog.com/about and you get my email there and shoot me a note with some details on that. I'd like to make sure we clarify that in my show notes. So, Dave, in New York, thank you for holding. You're going to have the last word, it looks like, Dave.
Hey, some simple questions here. A contract requires more than one signature, right? Because this is a binding agreement between two people or two entities. Isn't that correct?
Well, a contract doesn't require a signature. It requires a meeting of the minds for it to be a valid contract. So you and I could have a contract that is considered valid before the court. Like if I said, you give me $10 now or I'll mow your lawn on Tuesday. Nothing's written down. There's no signature. You show up to court. If you can establish that there was that meeting of the minds, you gave me $10 and I never showed up, you certainly would have a very good chance at getting a judgment in your favor.
Oh,
is that what you're asking? Like, literally, do you have to have a signature?
Oh, no. I asked you the question, you answered, okay? So the next question is, if you guys are talking about driver's licenses and passport applications, so these are both applications where you have only your signature on it, does that really constitute a contract?
Absolutely.
That's really just yes or no. Okay, all right.
Yeah. I think so. First off, I'm not an expert on that. And if you go to court and say, hey, Corey said that this is a contract, the judge is going to laugh at you. That's for everybody out there listening.
I got another question.
Okay.
But the whole thing is, and if you have a document that all the, you know, some meeting of the mind, something, the document says something, and then it's signed at the bottom by multiple signatures, that would constitute also a contract, right?
Yeah.
Between the parties that signed it.
I think so.
So if it starts out saying, we the people, and it's signed by a number of people at the bottom, we the people are defined by those who signed it. They are making the agreement. This is what is referred to as the Constitution. And so under that basis, I don't see where, you know, you were talking to Jerry Kirk about the people. Well, the people, being you and me, are not the people who signed that contract. So I don't see, I mean, Jerry, what he's doing is he stepped outside of Babylon. He's one of the few and only people who've done this. And he separated himself from it. He said, I don't want to be part of the corporation, the mafia, whatever you want to call it. I don't want to be part of it. So he stepped outside, but I don't see why you would say, you would claim to be one of the people that is mentioned in the Constitution. Maybe I'm missing a little bit in the assumptions here.
I'm saying that the people, we've only got a few minutes here, but when they talked about the people and then they signed it, they were talking about a class of people. It's a political class. And the people who signed that constitution, that they were a part of that political class. But there's nothing in there that says they're completely restricted to just those people.
It's definitely a concern many have had regarding what you're bringing up there, Dan. Dave, in New York. We appreciate your call. Unfortunately, we're at the end of this hour, and maybe we could pick that back up next week for you. Thanks, everybody. Take care.
Now more than ever.